Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm grateful this morning again for your house, the family of God, and that we can worship you together and look to you, Lord, and you really do inhabit the praises of your people. You really do, Lord. There's nowhere else I want to be than in your presence. There's nothing that compares to you. Nothing. How soon we forget, Lord. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your people today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you, God. You've brought us into a family, a heavenly family, by your blood. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning, you would help me to convey your heart, Lord. Help me to share your word in humility. Help me, Lord, not to share from mere head knowledge, but from the heart what you want to say today. And I pray you'd give us ears to hear. I pray you would open up our understanding to know truth. And you are truth. You are truth. Not what we make it to be. You are truth, Jesus. And I pray as we listen to your truth, you would make us one. Make us of the same mind, the mind of Christ, Lord. So I thank you this morning. And I ask you to anoint this word. I ask you to accomplish what you want to accomplish in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm actually going to be sharing from our Bible study this morning. I felt led as I was praying to share this with the whole body. I know on Wednesday nights not everyone can come. And this matter of or subject that was for this Wednesday, I feel is very important for us as a body. So we're going to be looking at gray issues, or what I would call it this morning would be a matter of the conscience, a matter of the conscience. And we're going to be basically looking at a few portions of Scripture, so you might want to just kind of hold your Bible open to these places. We're basically going to be in Romans 14 and 15, just the beginning part of 15 there. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1 Corinthians 10. Okay? I'll have a lot of other scriptures in there, but those are the main verses that I'll be grabbing from. So you want to make sure you look on in your Bibles. And by the way, it's very important that you bring your Bible to church. Okay? I had my old pastor told me that all the time, and he basically said, you don't know if I got up last night and got some new revelation and added something to the Word. How do you know that? How do you know what I'm telling you is really, really from the Word of God, unless you have your Bible? So it's important that you have your Bibles. And I like using my tablet for preaching, but I like reading from my Bible so you understand I'm reading from the Bible. Okay, I didn't go on the internet and get some men's opinions and thoughts on things. We are looking at the Word of God. That is God's Word to us. It is God's breathed. And it's life. It's living. And it accomplishes something in our hearts. It reveals truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer this morning that God will speak to you about a very important issue that I believe divides believers. And I'm going to kind of intertwine our trip to Albania in this, because on our trip, I experienced a lot of what I want to talk about today. So I'm just going to start off here just talking about the conscience. And what is the conscience? And how does that work? How does that work itself out in our walk with God? The conscience is basically innate, and it's a learned awareness of standards of right and wrong. And by it, we basically judge ourselves. It's mentioned in Scripture in different ways. In Romans 2:15, it's talking about the law, how it's written in their hearts, and their conscience also bears witness. So God gave us a conscience. So their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else accusing them. And then in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, he says, the testimony of our conscience is that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. So our conscience really helps us determine right and wrong, but our consciences cannot be trusted. We need the Word of God to teach us and to help form what's really right and wrong in our conscience. And God will use our conscience, but it has to be directed by the Word of God. And that's where people get in trouble. So it must be trained in the Word of God. We see this in Titus 1:15. We see it in Ephesians 4:18 and 19. And I'll read the verse in Ephesians. It's talking about the Gentiles in verse 17 who walk in the futility of their mind. It says their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God because there's ignorance in them because of the blindness of their heart. So we're blind, basically. We don't see right. But then it talks about those who have come to Christ, who have put their faith in Christ. And he says, you have not so learned Christ. In other words, that shouldn't describe you. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So there it is. Have we learned the truth as it is in Christ Jesus? You know, I like how it says in Christ Jesus. Because a lot of times man comes up with his own truth, and sometimes we call them doctrines, and sometimes we elevate them above Christ and causes a lot of problems in the church. Paul had to deal with this early on in the book of Romans because people started saying, well, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, already erring and making man more important than God. And we see in that chapter, you know, Paul saying, you know, I'm glad I didn't baptize you because it would just further your idolatry of me. He's basically saying, get your eyes off me. Get your eyes off Apollos. And he says in that chapter, listen, I preach Christ and him crucified. He's the one you should be looking at. He's the one you should be looking to for your example. Not a man, not a place, not even a doctrine. Because really, it all revolves around Jesus, and the truth is revealed in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go somewhere with that in a little while. So I want to look at this morning gray issues, or sometimes they're just mysteries in the Bible that God put there that we just can't figure out, but some people think they can figure it out. I don't have this all figured out, by the way. Your pastor does not have this all figured out yet. There's a lot of stuff in here I don't understand. I can't get my mind around it, but that's okay. God intended it to be that way. But there's a lot of things I do understand. And the stuff I do understand, I make sure I'm applying it to my life first and foremost. Because in the end, the words of Jesus are all that's going to matter and what I did with it. That's all that's going to matter. But, you know, we have these gray issues. We have all these things in the church we get in it about. And I was amazed going over to Albania. Everyone asks me, where's Albania? It's north of Greece, okay? You got Greece down here. Albania's here. Macedonia, Turkey, So it kind of give you an idea, the Aegean Sea comes around, then on the other side is Italy, to the west, to the west bit. But I was amazed coming over there, and there's different missionary groups there and all. I was amazed at all the division between the leaders. And I experienced a lot of this gray issue stuff. And there were times I really had to navigate my way around things, because I was there to minister to people. I could care less about all that stuff. I was more interested in the people who were needing truth, and who we desired really to see and know Jesus and to learn how to follow him and to love his word and to have an understanding of how he wants to work in their lives and in their marriages and how they can glorify him better in their lives. That was my focus. That was our focus when we went there. But, you know, there's people there, other people. You ever hear the phrase, you know, ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people? Sometimes that's true. So I want to talk about gray issues. Paul dealt with this in various places. We're going to look at Romans 14 and 15 and 1 Corinthians 8 and 1 Corinthians 10. So I'm going to be kind of grabbing from here, but I'm just going to give a little overview. In 1 Corinthians 8, again, he's talking about the conscience, and he's saying, listen, we need to be sensitive about the conscience. And he says, now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But just knowledge, just intellectual knowledge puffs up. But love edifies. In other words, love brings people together. Love lifts people up. Knowledge, pride, separates. It just causes problems. It just causes divisions. So just be careful. We need to know things, and God does give us knowledge of things, but don't let knowledge puff you up. And, you know, he was talking about people that had an understanding that, listen, it's okay. It doesn't matter that things were offered to idols. They had a knowledge about things, but the problem was they weren't in love towards those that didn't have that knowledge, that didn't understand. And to them, they didn't want to do that. To them, it was sinful. It's very, very unmerciful. And Paul had to deal with it. And he says in verse 9, you know, beware lest somehow your liberty, this liberty of yours, becomes a stumbling block to other people. In other words, you don't want to hurt people. You don't want to cause someone else to stumble because you think you know something that they don't. You want to be careful. You want to be very careful. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, again, he's dealing with idolatry and the sacrifices, the food. And in verse 23, he talks about basically, you know what? Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Let no one seek his own, but each the other's well-being. You hear what he's saying? It's not about me. It's not about what I think is right. It's not about what I want. What's really more important is the other person. That's really what your mind should be concerned about, is the other person. And then down in verse 31, he says, listen, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. In other words, whatever you do in life, just do it so God will be glorified. Not some belief you have or some system or pet doctrine that you just love. That's not what we're supposed to glorify. Make sure everything you do, everything you say, everything about your life glorifies God. So let's look at some of these issues, or some of the things about gray issues we need to understand. First of all, a person has to be convinced that what he is doing is okay before the Lord. Romans 14:5 says, listen, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully convinced in his own mind. In other words, listen, if that's how you feel about it, that's fine. If that's how you feel about it, that's fine. As long as you're convinced of it before God. I'm talking about gray issues. I'm not talking about black and white issues in the Bible. I just want to make that shit clear. You know, some people believe Saturday is the Sabbath. We should be meeting on Saturday. You think that's going to alter someone's salvation or something? Or if we esteem one day more than the other, like the Jews would with festivals and all that, you know, or it's Christmas, you know, so we got to really, you know, have a great service and just do more because it's Christmas. Well, why is that day, you know, that would be my take on it. Every day is Christmas to me. Every day is a day to remember the birth of Christ. I don't need a holiday. You know, so I used to get into mindset years ago. I was kind of a bah humbug. I didn't even want to celebrate great Christmas because, they've just commercialized. These Christians. You know, they do this and do that. And, they don't go to church all year. And we're going to church on Christmas. And there I was judging everybody. I was really in love. Instead of grateful that, hey, they're coming to church today. Hey, maybe God could speak to them today. So we celebrate Christmas now. We have a tree about that big. Goes in the corner. Some years I even put lights on the house. But, you know, okay. You know, you'd have people, the Christmas tree, you know, that's demonic. Okay. You know, we get all crazy about stuff. Gray issues. Don't judge someone's decisions on a gray issue. Don't do that. Romans 14:13 says, therefore, let us not judge one another. Don't do that. But rather resolve this. Why don't you make this more important? Don't put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way. Why don't you make that more important? Again, this can apply to some doctrines that man loves to elevate. And it's something I experienced in Albania. We visited, the way we wound up over there is I went through Pure Life with a guy 24 years ago, his name's Blair Alvidrez. Man, I couldn't stand this guy. When I first met him, I was like, what is up with this guy? And we became best friends. And then we worked together for 3 years. He was also a counselor at Pure Life. And then he met a girl up at the Faith Homes in Chicago. They got married, they moved away. And eventually wound up back in the area here because they were up in Milwaukee. Eventually moved back here and went to Grace Fellowship in Florence. And about 7 years ago, felt called to Albania. So they've been in Albania for 7 years now, and they teach biblical counseling there, and they work with all the churches there, local churches. So he invited us over. And he said to me, you have no idea what a blessing this is for us to be with like-minded believers. Because they're having a very difficult time. He goes to a church where the pastor is all about head coverings for the women. So he tells Blair, your wife and daughter are in sin because they're not wearing a head covering. So he's laying this thing on Blair and his wife and his daughter. You know, that because if you don't do it my way, you know, because this is what we believe, you're in sin. Then I got invited to another pastor's house, and I don't know if he understood my background or not, but we just started talking, and the whole idea of Calvinism came up. But by the way, I believe both Calvinism, I believe it both. Because they're both in the Bible. So this church, we ain't got it figured out. Okay, so if you want to come here, we ain't got that figured out yet. They're both in the Bible. I don't get it, but I'm thankful I'm chosen. And I'm thankful I chose him too at some point. I don't know how it happened, but praise God. That's all I care about. You understand? That's all I care about. I know him. Somehow he reveals. I don't care how it happened. I don't got to figure it out. I'm just thankful. And I want other people to know him. All right, don't get me started. This is why I got to pray. Lord, help me. Because it grieves my heart. And it must grieve God's heart to see his children bickering over things that when we stand before him, we're going to be like Job. I've uttered things I don't understand. You know, remember in the book of Job where God says, okay, Job, now I want a question. You've been talking a lot, you know, all your thoughts, what you think you know. Now let me ask you, where were you when I created the foundation? Where were you, Job? God doesn't talk like me. He doesn't. But I don't know. He's speaking to him out of a whirlwind. It was intense, I'm sure. How would you like to be questioned by God? You think you know some things? See, I was sharing with this guy. I don't know how we got on the subject, but I said, you know, I heard a story one time about Spurgeon, I think it was, and Spurgeon would be more Calvinistic. I said he was on his deathbed, and I think like the heavens were open, and he was seeing the Lord, who was just passing over, and he said, my writings are all hay and stubble. This is someone we would read their writings and be like, man, where did this guy get it? And when he saw Jesus, he said, all my writings are hay and stubble. Now, I'm not sure that was him, but the guy says, oh no, I'm quite sure that was Wesley, because Wesley is Arminius. And then he says something to me that stunned me. He says, Calvinism, Christian Calvinism, it's the same thing. And I thought, I can't go there to this guy because I'll just walk out of the house. So I just backed up, and he kept on for a little bit, and I just backed up, and I was like, wow. And he basically said, there is no salvation without election, and I almost fell off my chair. It totally took the focus off Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was stunned. I thought he was joking at first, but then I realized he was serious, and the rest of the night, it was uncomfortable. We didn't talk about the Lord. I didn't feel very edified when we left. And then we went to another small town and visited with a Scottish pastor. We stayed at his house with his family. And he talked like Scottish. It was cool. I love those accents. But this guy was so humble, and he had been through a lot. And he had been through, like us, all the different teachings and all that. And this guy just loved people. And we had such sweet fellowship. We would sit around the table, and we would just talk about Jesus. And I felt so edified spending time with them, because they were humble, and they weren't all hung up on all this stuff. Only one thing threw me on the visit there. His wife's Albanian. So I'm having a hard time reading my Bible, finding a place. You know, we're in this little room, whatever. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go out on the porch this morning, just me and God, I'm going to read the Word. So I go out there, I sit on a porch, and I'm reading my Bible. And his wife comes out, and she goes around the side of the house. She comes back out with a huge rat in a cage. And she sets it down right in front of me, and she says, he killed my duckling last night, drug him in a hole. Okay. She goes back in the house, and I'm sitting there, and this big rat is right in front of me. I'm like, okay. She comes out with a boiling thing of water, and she just leans over and starts pouring on it really slow when the thing is freaking out. And I'm just sitting there watching, and she's just expressionless, just, you know, And she's doing it really slow. I'm like, just dump it on, just end it. And the thing is just in agony, and I'm telling you, it's taken a while. And finally, the thing's just shaking and turns over and it's gone. And I looked at her, I said, you're brutal. And she goes, oh, you think that's bad? Usually they do it with a big knitting needle and they jab it in the head. And I was like, okay. You know, I said, listen, in Kentucky, at least we shoot it with a gun. You know. So you see, I judged her. You don't do it like I do, so you're brutal. You see, but it was no big deal to her. And you could tell. And then when she described how it drug the duckling down the hole to her children so they could eat it, I was like, yeah, he deserved it. Or she. But you see, you know, that's just how they do it there. Well, you need to do it like us Americans. At least we shoot them. You see? You see what we do? And we do that with the things of God. I can't get that thing out of my head. Rose was like, that really affected you, didn't it? It's like, yeah, you didn't see it. It was intense. No, I don't know what she did with it. I don't know. We had meat that night. I don't know. They were telling me how they don't waste anything there. They make a sausage and they put all the things you wouldn't eat. So maybe he went in the sausage. I don't know. I don't question what they serve me. And so Paul said, you know, it don't matter. What I don't know won't hurt me. Don't judge other people. Don't judge other people. Don't strengthen others to sin against their conscience, their thinking. You know, where, oh, if he can get away with it, I can get away with it. Don't do that. Romans 14:13 again. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block. Just be careful. That's the main issue here. Don't be a stumbling block to people. And then don't give unbelievers, here's where it really gets, don't give unbelievers another excuse why they can reject Christ. Oh yeah, you Christians. You're just like us, man. I saw that guy down there doing this or that. Let's not give them more. We've given them enough. Don't give unbelievers an excuse to reject Christ and what they think Christians shouldn't do, even in gray areas. Oh, well, you're a Christian, are you? I thought you're not supposed to do that. Because they're looking for anything. But don't wear it on your sleeve like a Pharisee. You know, like when you visit your relatives and they're watching TV. Oh, well, we wouldn't watch something like that. Let's go, honey. We don't need this kind of atmosphere. Oh, sinners. Yeah. We visit New York all the time back in the day, and we'd go over and, you know, they don't know the Lord. And we'd go downstairs and, you know, if you want to hang out with them, you got to do it in front of the TV. But there were times when they would switch the channel and something vulgar would come on or a scene or whatever, didn't say anything. We just would get up, go upstairs and just sit at the kitchen table, and eventually they would come up and we would just stop talking. We didn't even mention anything. And after we did that about 50 times, her mom, Jose, would change the channel, and her mom would say, Jose, change the channel. Because she starts, okay, I'm seeing the pattern here. You know, and then drinking, you know, we just didn't partake with them in drinking. This was funny one day. We never said anything to them. We walked in and her family was over and they're all drinking and partying. We walk in, we just sit on the couch. We're not doing nothing. All of a sudden, everyone looks all guilty. And her mother goes walking down the hall and I hear her saying under the breath, I don't know why I feel guilty. I don't know. You know, and I'm cracking up inside. I'm thinking it's the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. But you see, we didn't have to say anything. They don't know any better, but I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to give them a reason to say, oh, you guys, they watch with the F word on TV and the sex scenes and all that. Yeah, you Christians, you're just like we are. I didn't want to give them any excuse. I did not want to dishonor God before them. And eventually her brother, her mother, her father all came to the Lord. And her brother, you know what her brother said? Many years after just watching us, he said, you know, I've watched you guys for years and you've been consistent. And when he was at his lowest and something had happened, he called us and he wanted to ask God into his life because he just watched us. We never preached at him. We never told him he needed Jesus, whatever. We just tried to be an example to him. That's all. And not give him a reason to say, oh, you haven't changed. I know my sister, man. You're no different than you were when you were partying and going to clubs. No, they saw something different just in how she lived and what she did and the things, how she spoke. She was a different person. God had changed her. You can't deny that. We should be different. We should be a lot different than the world. But not self-righteous, not to where, you know, they get around us. And they feel unwelcome and like we hate them. That's not how it was with Jesus. You know, he had no problem hanging out with sinners, Jesus. The Pharisees had a big problem. Jesus had no problem. So when I get around people, you know, and they're, F this, every other word, it don't bother me. They don't know. I used to talk the same way. Who am I to judge them? They don't know what they're doing. Just love them. Show them the love of Christ. Remember where you've come from. Don't give unbelievers an excuse to reject Christ and what they may think Christians do or shouldn't do in gray areas. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever sold in the meat market. Ask no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you. Don't ask any questions for conscience sake. But if someone says to you, this was offered to idols, don't eat it for the sake of one who told you that. Because now they know. You see? Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. Why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? We have to approach these gray issues with the right attitude. Here's a good test. If you want to write this down, this is a good test. I'll give you some scriptures to help you decide, is this good or is this bad? Okay, Romans 14:6 tells us to do all things with thanksgiving. Romans 14:7-8 says, none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So live for God. And then thirdly, avoid the offense of others. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no offense. And he's talking about the Jews or the Greeks here, or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. You hear Paul's heart? So avoid offense of others. Build up others rather than please yourself. Build up others rather than please yourself. Romans 14:19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Is what I am doing, is how I live, edifying people around me? building them up in Christ. And then again, 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And then lastly, most importantly, do everything for the glory of God. Do everything for the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:21. Everything we pursue, everything we do in life should be for the glory of God. I heard an example one time of parents and why they tell children certain things. And it was really a profound truth that I hadn't thought of, because it sounds okay. So a parent's dealing with a kid, he gets bad grades on his his report card. So that dad's trying to help him, and he's like, son, you know, you got to do good in school, you got to do your best, because you want to be successful in life, don't you? You don't want to be a bum on the street, right? So you got to do your best, son. You want to get a good job when you get, don't you? Well, you got to do good in school. Is that how a father should? So that's the goal, right, for the kid. But really, if it's a Christian home, son, you need to do everything with excellence. And son, when you're not doing your homework, when you're not showing the other kids in school that you're attentive in class, you're respectful to the teacher, and showing them that you are giving it your best, you're not glorifying God. And so, son, everything you do in life needs to be for the glory of God. So, son, you need to do your best in school, because when you do, it glorifies God. Oh, now that's my motive. And the other stuff, there's some truth in that. So you understand, there's nothing wrong with that, but that can't be the motive. As believers, we do what we do. We do our best because it glorifies God, period. Everything, whatever we do it to glorify Him. So you can ask yourself these criteria, if they're being met in your life, in these areas, maybe that you're not sure of, or it's kind of a gray area. It'll help you. I'm going to use one example, alcohol, which, you know, there's a lot of debate about this in the church. This body, we don't condone alcohol in the fellowship, simply for the reason that we work with addicted people, and our heart is we don't want to give any cause for stumbling. I come out of that background myself, and I don't want to ever, you know, do something that causes someone to stumble that maybe just can't have that drink, but says, oh, well, Pastor Jeff drinks, so I can do it. I won't do it. So I gave up. I used to love beer, the taste of beer. I just loved the smell of it. And you know, I traveled. I worked in Germany when I was younger. And, man, that was all these towns had the different beers and all that. I just was a connoisseur of beers. And, you know, a hot day, you're outside, you're working, or it's a picnic or whatever. Man, a nice cold one, right? So here I am in Albania. We get invited to a picnic. It's hot. They're playing. I'm standing by the grill. And the pastor walks over with a big quart of Albanian beer. And he pours me a cup, man, and it's glistening in the cup. And he puts it in my face, and I'm thinking, oh, man. What am I going to do? I don't want to offend the guy. But I can't sin against my conscience. And for me, this would be sin. I can't do this. I'd lose my credentials if I did. I'd have to lie. Because as a minister, my credential, part of it is we're not allowed. Even if you travel in other countries, they're just very strict about it. But more than that, I made a decision maybe 22 years ago that because I saw that when I was still doing it, I was causing other people to stumble. And that's when I said, nope. If I got to give this up the rest of my life, fine. If I'm not going to cause someone. So that's why we have that rule. Listen, if you want to have a beer at home on vacation, you are not sinning. If that is not your conviction, so that's not what we're saying. We're just saying in the fellowship, any kind of gatherings, there will be no alcohol simply for the reason that we don't want to cause someone to stumble. That's all. So I had shared this with Blair beforehand. We were talking about stuff because they don't have an issue with that. And he asked one night, we were out to dinner, is it okay if my wife and I said, yeah, I don't care. You know, it's fine. So Blair knew. So here I am, I'm holding the cup. And I'm like, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. And so I'm thinking I'll just hand it to Blair. And Blair says, well, Pastor Jeff, you know, that he explained the whole thing for me. And he took the cup, and I was like, thank you. So I said to the guy, now this is the guy that told Blair, his wife and his daughter, they were in sin because they didn't wear a head covering. So I looked at him, I said, brother, you're not sinning because you're having a beer. I'm fine with that. You know what? If that's good for you, praise the Lord. Because I don't see in the Bible where it says having a beer or a glass of wine is sin. The Bible talks about drunkenness. So you have this debate, right? How many times? You're like, well, Jesus turned water to wine. Come on. You know? God's going to serve wine at the feast. Right? Come on, Paul told Timothy, drink some wine for medicinal purposes, right? But yet in 1 Timothy 3, it says, elders and deacons must not be addicted to wine. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 says, drunkards will be condemned as with other sinners. Proverbs gives us many, many strong warnings about alcohol. Many, many strong warnings. And in Ephesians, we're told, you know what? Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation. So I was tested. But you know, I didn't have to get all worked up and bent out of shape. And I didn't sit around, look at them! Sinners! Not like me. Yeah, look at them chugging that wine. You're getting a little insight into what I'm really like about Jesus. Because I was like that. I was like that for many years. You know, because at one time we learned to worship a certain way. And I'd go back to New York and I'd be in the worship service. Look at them. They're all in the flesh. Look at them. It's all emotion. And God's like, "What are you? They're worshiping me. What are you doing?" Yeah. Oh. We don't realize we hurt one another. It's ugly. It's pride. It's really an ugly thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us to abstain from every form or appearance of evil. In other words, you know, it really does matter what we do and how we live our lives. It really does matter. And if there's anything in our lives that's going to present itself in a bad light or in a wrong way to someone, we need to avoid it. That's why we have a rule. I'll never sit in a room with a woman alone talking to her. That don't look right. I remember I was in Teen Challenge once when I was many, many years ago, and these ladies came from the church to feed us, and we're having a good time, you know, eating food, not like we were getting in the program. And they were sitting at the table with us, and everyone got up and left. And I'm just sitting eating, and some lady's there, and she starts talking to me. I'm not thinking nothing. And later on, my pastor comes over. He goes, your weekend privileges are canceled. I'm like, what? Why? What did I do? He's like, you gave the appearance of evil. Why didn't you get up when everyone left that table? I was like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, you're married. That didn't look right. You're off in the corner talking to this woman all alone. I was like, come on. Really? But you know what? He was right. We should be careful. We should use wisdom in things like that. We don't want to give the enemy any kind of opportunity, especially now in the days we're living. So we got to be careful. We got to use wisdom. in different things, and we need to be careful. You know, Billy Graham had a rule, and it was that rule that none of them would ever be alone, because you don't know. What if she says you did something? No one knows. So we got to use wisdom in these matters. You know, there's many other things I can get into, which I'm not going to, but here's the conclusion, okay? I'm going to end it with Romans 15, verses 1 through 7. I'm just going to finish with this, okay? I'll start in verse 2, I think. This is kind of after all the discussing of all these issues. He says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you, here's God, the prayer, grant you to be like-minded towards one another. Does that mean you think like I think? Then we're good? Listen, if you think like, then we're good, we can hang. As long as you think and believe everything I believe, okay? Then we'll all be one, okay, if we all think like me. Is that what he's talking about? Like-minded, what does that mean? Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind we need to have. Like-minded, like Christ, like Jesus. Let's think like Jesus. Let's act like Jesus. Let's let him be our example. Then we'll be one. That's what a body is all about. That's what this body should be all about, because he's the head. I'm not the head. He's the head. We want to think like him. We want to know his thoughts. We want to follow his word. Not the thoughts, not the opinions of man. Because Christ is the center. And he is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. So be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. That you may be of one mind. That you may be of one mind. And one mouth. It's almost as if God is saying, with all your differences, with all your different backgrounds, like one person saying the same thing. That's how a true body operates. That's functioning healthy with Christ as the head. That with one mouth may glorify God and the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Not a place, not a man, no, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. And what was a blessing to me, really, you know, I shared those things about the trip. That was a very small part of the trip. The people there have lived under communism for so many years, and you see they're still under that thinking, the mentality of living under that oppression, and especially when you get in the smaller towns. But what's so cool, and we see this when we travel, is the connection you have. That there are believers, we're like-minded, and you immediately bond without even words. And I was, for some reason, I was thinking about it today when we were worshiping and singing a cappella. It's like, that's it, one voice. It's like we were one voice praising the Lord, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I think it was beautiful to the Lord when he sees his people, you know, with all their differences, kind of put that aside and just get their eyes on Jesus and just with one body, with one voice, just glorify him through our love for one another, walking in lowliness, humility. We need a lot of grace to do that. But we can, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll major on what's important, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love people. Love people just like you love yourself. Love them. If we could do that, people, God will be glorified. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. So, Lord, I thank you. I'm so grateful for what you're doing here, first of all. I hear it. I see it. It's like you're drawing people that get it, that want that, that see it. And I know you're doing that everywhere. I see it. We meet people all the time. It's like it's time to put aside the things that divide us. It's time to get our eyes on you. You're coming back. There's people that need you, Lord. There's people dying around us, just like in Puerto Rico, that where they politicize everything. And when there's people dying, causing division instead of focusing on just helping people. And God, that's what we want to be as your body, just people helping people, people glorifying God to people, people that are the hands and feet of Jesus, people that speak the words of Jesus. That's what we want, Lord. So God, I'm praying that you would bring this about in us and through us, that you would help us, God, to humble ourselves, to fix our eyes on you, Lord, and to let you be the head of this body and of our lives, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, and I pray we would take this word to heart for ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.